favorite either, being so detached from you guys. So a little bit of feedback every once in a while, or you can even use a verbal amen. It'd be great. With the councilman that we have at this church, y'all should just be so grateful. Through this pandemic and through this last part of this couple, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we've went through this through our church. The pandemic wasn't real to Flat Top Church until about a month ago. I really believe that. But these men have really helped me. They've prayed. They've communicated. And they've made good decisions on putting our people and our church in the best place. We might struggle in some areas for a little bit, but we're not. It won't be because we're putting people in bad position. So really, if y'all can tell, I'm all over the place. I am emotionally. I'm not going to lie to you. I love my church and I love my people. But my councilmen have been so strong and so good and have given me good information and made good decisions. So y'all be thankful for them. If you get a chance to talk to them or encourage them, they've done really well. I will make this point as well. I don't care what the world's doing. I really don't care what the country's doing. I don't care what Nashville's doing. What's happening to our church and our community matters most to me. And I'm going to put my people ahead of anything else. So if they're in danger, I love that. Don't be ashamed. That's good. If they're in danger, I'll talk to God and we'll put our people first. So I love y'all. And if you worry about any decision I make or whatever the case may be, it's based off our councilman. I've talked to the Lord and I've prayed, and it's because I want y'all to be. I don't want to have church without you. That's the key. All right. So anyway, that being said, let's get in the Word of God. I believe this is a message that the Lord has given me. Earlier I was praying for a good breeze, and now I'm kind of like wondering if I prayed too good for that breeze. So we're going to be in Psalm 121, if you have your Bibles. And I'm going to challenge you and challenge me at the very end of this with about five things God will help us with if we would let Him. If there's anybody out there that's listening to me, has got down to the basics. I have gotten down to the basics in my faith, where I'm talking to God like a little child, and I'm just telling Him, God, help me, help us, and I don't have to understand everything. I was wrestling with God and fighting with God, and I'm just going to give y'all a quick illustration. I was like a two-year-old at the Walmart who's pitching a fit because they didn't get what they wanted. That's kind of where I was for a little bit. And God said, you can do that all you want. I'm still God, and I still know better than you. So today I want you to know this. God is in control, and He's in charge, and He knows better. He's a good parent. He's a good father. Let's read the Word of God, and I'll jump in there with you. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence my help, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God tells me in His Word, I don't have to know it all. My help comes from above. My help comes from the One who made the heavens and the earth and me and you. He made us. He designed us. He loves us better than anybody else loves us. During these last couple of weeks, I have gotten my eyes on the Lord and then my eyes on the storm, and I'll be honest, my eyes on the ground. My eyes on the Lord, my eyes on the storm, and then I'm going to be honest, I've got my eyes on the ground. But God says, lift up your eyes. Look up to me. And you will see your help come. Guys, I know it's hard. I know it is. It's on the inside of me right now. I'd like to tell you, man, I'm so strong. I'm a warrior. Listen, as a warrior in Christ Jesus, that's different than any other warrior you're ever going to read about or hear about. We're not the strong ones God is. We're not the fighters God is. We're not the ones who's going to win the battle. We're going to get on our face. We're going to look for Jesus. Because you know what? He is the one. He is the one who sends help. He is the one who sends peace, joy, love, strength. He is the one who calms you in the storm. Is there anybody else sitting here right now who said, I don't even know how I've made it this far without Jesus? Without the Lord in my life, right now, I wouldn't be standing here. 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021. If not for God, if not getting my eyes focused and fixed on Him, I would not stand here without the help of the Lord. Amen? Would not. There's some people sitting in these cars right now, and I recognize you by your vehicle, and I recognize you by your face. You wouldn't be sitting here trying to worship the Lord and praise God if it hadn't have been for the Lord in your life. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He keepeth thee with no slumber, with not slumber. God is not asleep. He's not far off. He's not forgot about you. And I like what it says right there. He will keep your feet from slipping. If it had been up to me, I'd have slipped a long time ago. Amen? But God's keeping us where we're at. Amen? He pulled us up out of the pit, the miry clay. He pulled us up out of the mess. Guess what? I want you to know this. He set you on solid ground. You did not set yourself on solid ground. So therefore, when you're standing on solid ground, even when you don't think you can stand, give glory to God and say, thank you for keeping my feet steady. I have to thank Him all the time. God, thank you for keeping my feet steady. Behold, he keepeth Israel, shall neither sleep, neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee day nor the moon by night. Praise God, that's good to me because I've had some hot, hard days and I've had some long, lonesome nights. Amen? I've had some hot, hard days, and I had some lonesome, dark nights in the last few months of my life. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank God He shows up on those times. In the long days when you're sitting there going, I don't think I'm going to make it through, I'll just preach to you. I'll act like you're looking right at me. Some of y'all said, why are these seats out here? I put these seats out here because I figured if nobody else showed up, I would pretend like there were some people sitting in those seats, and I would just preach to them. It was almost like the guy who prayed for rain and opened up an umbrella and waited for the rain to come. Well, you guys are sitting here. The rains came. So I'm so thankful that you're sitting here instead of just preaching to empty seats. So I'm sitting here thinking to myself when I did this, the Lord is my keeper. He will not let the days and nights. We sit there and started thinking about that. And I'm so grateful that when God is in my life that I don't have to sit and worry about how I'm going to fix this and how I'm going to fix that and how this is going to work out and how that's going to work out. God is in control. He's kept me in those days where I've had to, I'd have to put a smile on. Is anybody in here, out here, had to just put a smile on and fake it? I mean, just put a smile on. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're going through school days. Maybe you're going through the community or down at shopping or something. And somebody sees you and you go, how you doing? It's daytime. And you just say, I'm all right. I'm good. I think I'm doing okay. And you smile through the pain. You want to weep. You probably didn't want to leave the house that day, but you had to go on with life. Aren't you glad that God will see you through that day too? Aren't you glad that He goes through that day with you too? The day where you didn't even know if you was going to make it till the end of the day. Praise God, I'm glad He's there. And then all you want to do is get home. You want to get away from the problem. You get home and you, at the end of the night, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and it's just you. And you're sitting there going, man, how am I going to make it? Aren't you glad that He shows up then too and helps you through those times? I've needed God so much in this last few weeks and months to give answers and to receive answers. I'm glad that there's not a daytime or a nighttime that God can't be reached. And I want to encourage you with this. Talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Even when you don't feel like it, talk to Him. I mean, just share your heart with Him. And it won't matter if you say things like, God, I'm scared. God, I'm mad. God, I'm frustrated. God, I don't understand. God, I'm lonely. God, help me. Amen? He will. And then some of you sitting here right now, and I know how it is. If you're not going through the struggle sometimes, you kind of look at people and say, man, why are they hurt? Why aren't they just standing on with the, why are they not going this? Listen, if it's not you right now, pray for the person who's going through it, because let me tell you, I've got an understanding of how life goes now. If you're doing good right now and you're up on the mountaintop, pray for the ones who are going through the valley. And if you're in the valley right now and you see somebody on the mountaintop, I know this is hard. Thank God that they're on the mountaintop. Thank God. Say, God, thank you. I know I'm going through a valley, and I know it's hard, but you know, I found this to be true in the Word of God, that God is more present in the valley than He is on the mountaintop. Amen? There is more God reference of Him being in the valley than there is on the mountaintop. But when you're on the mountaintop, shout, praise God, run, do the things of glorifying Jesus. But also look down in the valley every once in a while and say, thank you, God, for the mountaintop. But if you are in that valley, and you're sitting here going, where's God, and how's God, and why did God, and all those things, praise Him anyway. Praise Him anyway. I like to say this, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'll trust that you're better at it than me, and I'll just trust you in that season of my life. The Lord, watch this right here. The sun, verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. God did not say He was going to preserve our lives. He said He is going to preserve our souls. God did not save your physical body. He saved your soul. And as time goes on and life goes on, heaven will become sweeter than the earth. Heaven will be, it will be more dear. I'm in that middle ground place. I've got a lot here, and I've got a lot there, amen? There's going to be a day that the balance kinds of shift, and I'll have more there than I got here, but it's starting to pile up in heaven that I'm getting to the place where I'm sitting there going, I'm being honest, I love everybody here, and I love life, and I live life, and I have a good time, and I smile, and I try to, but I'm starting to think, man, I can't wait, because there's a day coming that I'm going to see some people that I love. I'm going to see Jesus. And that's amazing. But I'm going to see my mama, and I'm going to see my daddy, and I'm going to see some friends that I love dearly, and I'm going to see some church members that I loved. And I was getting to know. And I can't wait to see them again. It's hard now, but it'll get better. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from the time forth, even forevermore. That's a promise from God. I know we're going through a struggle, we're going through a hard time, but God will preserve us through this. We will go through this with the Lord. Stay and remain faithful. I wrote five things down to help, because this is the title of the message, God Help Me. And how can we allow God to help us? First of all, let God save you. Let God save you. There's some people going to be watching this video, and I guarantee you, just knowing what I know, there are people sitting in these cars and seats right now that you're riding on a profession of salvation where there is no possession from Jesus Christ. You're talking about something that happened to you when you were real young or at one time in your life, and you're talking about that when somebody talks about eternity, we talk about heaven, and we talk about Jesus, or when you come to church, you talk about, well, I got saved at this time. But let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a governor. Jesus Christ is a Lord. Jesus Christ is someone, when He gets into your life, starts taking over every area, every facet, every love and every desire that you have. He might not get all of them because you're still human, but He starts working on the mind of a believer. And people start seeing you do things, say things, and behave certain ways that they would say, you are not the same as you used to be. I want to ask you this question. If we took everybody that knew you outside of the church realm, outside of this church community, would they know that you know Jesus? Would they know that you love Jesus? Would they know and say, you know what? Man, that person right there is sold out to Jesus Christ. They talk about Him. They worship Him. They trust Him. They seek Him. and they go with him when everybody else is going one way and God's going another way, they go with God. That's the test of salvation. Is when the world's going after everything else, you're going after God. God help us to be saved, but God help us overcome our sin. God help us overcome our sin. I dare say this, there's everybody in this parking lot right now has things we struggle with. We have issues that we struggle with. God help me with my sin. You know God, you know what He does? God will come in and He will reveal your sin. He will reveal things in your life that are stumbling blocks and hindrances to Him using you to the full capacity to glorify Him and to better you. And when He reveals them to you, you say, how can I beat that? How can I beat drinking? How can I beat drinking alcohol? It's very simple. You surrender it to God, and every opportunity when that presents itself, you run from it. You flee from it. I was praying the other night, and God in the Spirit spoke to my heart and said this right here. He said, there are some people in your church right now who are just now experiencing trying alcohol and drugs. They're just now trying. And a lot of them are getting it from somebody who's been devastated by drugs and alcohol. Their families have been devastated by drugs and alcohol. But somehow they have turned that and converted it into saying, this is one of the best times of our lives. This is exciting. You can't have fun unless we're drinking. We can't do this unless we're using or drinking or something like that. God doesn't mind you having a little bit of fun. That's how it's introduced to you. That's how it's brought to you. And it's usually brought to you by hurting people who don't know they're hurting you, but they're hurting you by introducing you to something that's been devastating their lives, their whole lives. Their mothers and their fathers have been devastated by drugs and alcohol. Yet they're passing that same devastation down to somebody they call a friend. And you say, well, brother, I don't know who you're preaching to this morning. Let me tell you this. I trust God more than I trust anybody in this whole parking lot. And God told me that's going on. And He told me to tell you this morning, if you want relief, if you want freedom from that, you're going to have to run from it. You're going to have to turn from it. You're going to have to run from it. Bad relationships, sexual relationships, you're going to have to run from it. I've preached this so many times here, it almost sounds redundant. It almost sounds like, God, Kevin, you're going to say that again? Some of you need to chase God so hard, so fast, and so furiously that anybody who wants to date you would have to chase God too. Some of you don't. You need to stop looking at their Facebook, their Instagram, and how popular they are, and ask them if you could look into their Bible and to see if they take any notes. What is your prayer life like? Because if I get sick or if I get hurt or if I get damaged, are you going to be there? Are you going to pray for me? Are you going to encourage me? Or are you just going to find somebody else because I don't look or act the same way I did yesterday? As a church, we also need to learn how to give over the things in our church that do the most damage. Grumbling, complaining, and gossip. Grumbling and complaining and gossip. You know what's going to set this church back and into failure is if we complain, we murmur, and we gossip. If we do that, this church will not be able to. The whole reason Israel was not able to go into the promised land is they would murmur and say, God can't. God can't do this and God can't do that. God wants to use this church for an amazing, amazing thing. He wants to pour His Spirit out in and on this church and on the families who attend here. He wants to break the chains of bondage, of alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, all kinds of things. But He can't do that if we're going to sit by and go, well, I don't like Sister So-and-so, and I don't like Brother So-and-so, and I don't like that, and I don't like this. What you need to do is if you got a problem with anybody in this church, go to them directly and say, can we pray about this? Can we seek the Lord on this? And if you're not willing to do that and you want to go to talk to somebody else before you'll talk to them, go to the altar, go to the prayer closet, and talk to God about it. If you got an issue or problem with anybody, go to God and talk to Him about it. A lot of times, you know what you'll find out in that situation? He'll fix you before He fixes them. God, help us. Help us not get bitter over the breakthrough that somebody else received or the miracle that somebody else received when you didn't. This one's a hard one for me right now, where you pray and pray and pray and pray, and God doesn't answer the way you want Him to answer. But maybe down the street or down the road or down the home or even next door, somebody prayed and God delivered. God, help me rejoice. God, help me praise when somebody else gets deliverance, when somebody else gets the miracle that I thought I deserved. God, don't let me get bitter. Don't let me get angry. And don't let me get alone when it didn't go my way. Let me hold my hand up and say, God, maybe that person needed more time to get it right with You. Or God, You weren't done with them yet and they've got more work to do. Amen? Let me rejoice in that. Let me pray in that. Because I'm going to be honest with you, that's so hard right now. As I'm speaking that out of my mouth, there's somebody in this crowd right now who's going, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time with it too, but I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better at it. I'm going to say thank God for that. God, I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to be there for that one. Another place of help. Help God, help us, God, not waste the miracle you got or the miracle that you received or the thing that God broke loose in your life. If it's you, you need to get saved. If God gave you more time, you need to get saved. There are some people who walked out of hospitals, who've walked out of emergency rooms, who just made it through. If God gave you more time, seek the Lord. And if he's not your Savior, my goodness, seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He may be found. Maybe it's your time to work. Maybe it's your time to do the thing that God's called you to do and completely sell out to it. Maybe it's you time for you to do better in that calling. There's somebody from sitting on this end of the parking lot to that end of the parking lot that you've told God, I'm going to do certain things, and you keep putting off and postponing and saying, God, I will someday. Listen, I'm telling you this. We only have a short period of time on the face of this planet. Release all those things and say, God, I will. I'm still here. I'm healthy. I made it through. I don't know why, but God, I will do what You called me to do, and I'll do it better. I'll do it better. We need to, if we could have a whole altar full of people, I think the prayer would be, God, if I'm still here and You still got a pulse in my veins and You're calling me to do something, God, I want to do it to the fullest of my ability. I wish there would be some people in this crowd this morning who would absolutely say, I am going to be better. You don't have to rededicate your life to Christ, but sometimes you need to rededicate your service to Him. Sometimes you need to say, God, I've been on the back burner too long. I need to step forward and serve God the right way. And now I'm going to really challenge us as a church and challenge myself. God, help us learn, adapt, overcome, and adjust, because I really believe that COVID's really not going anywhere, folks. I don't think it is. I think we're going to be constantly adjusting and moving and trying to figure out how to do things the right way. So I wanted to say there's about four things we need to do, and can I be directly pointed? I'm gonna say men, and some of you moms out there too, but men, you better hear me, because this is for me and for the men of this family, for this church. Since COVID, the church had to go home, and we've been clicheing this thing for 100 years. The church is not the church building. It's us, the lively stones that God saved. Is that correct? Well, it's amazing to me that when the church disperses and has to go home, the church ceases to operate as the church. We need to have prayer meeting in our homes. Dads, pull your family together and say, I don't care if it's a 3-minute prayer that doesn't sound very good at all. Bring your family together and say, I'm going to pray for our family. Mothers, if you're the only one in the home, say, hey, kids, I'm going to pull you together. We're going to pray. because it seems like the only praying place is the church. It's not. God is not limited by these four walls. God is not limited by us speaking here. The antenna is not here. The church steeple is not the antenna that reaches the heaven. You are. Have home worship. There's no excuse anymore. If you got YouTube, if you got an iPhone or a tablet, all you have to do is put in your favorite worship song, old, new, or anywhere in between, and listen to a worship song with your family and worship. If you can sing, praise God. Sing. Amen. And even if you just think you can sing, sing. Have Bible teaching in your home. We're waiting for the pastor. We're waiting for the preacher. We're waiting for somebody to come with a word. Well, guess what, dads? Guess what? You ain't got to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know whatever scripture means. Pray over one scripture. Pray over something and share it with your family. Be the preacher. Be the priest of your home. God will honor it. You say, well, I'm not very good at it. I'm not very spoken. You've been talking to your kids and your wife for many years now. Tell them something wonderful from the Lord. Even if you just have to read it and say, that is good. When the church is shut down, the real church should show out and show up. That's a challenge, not just for you. That's a challenge for me as well. That's a challenge for me as well. Because as a pastor and a preacher, I'm always like, we got to get back to church. There should be a revival going on in our homes at this point right now. Because in the darkest, darkest hours of a believer's life, the only light you should be able to see is the light of Jesus Christ. He put a light inside of me. He put a light inside of you. Are we hiding it under the bushel? Are we putting it up under the bed? When the church is closed, Lord help us. Let's turn the light on in our homes, even when the church can't be open. And when the church is open, we'll come back and this will be a bonfire for this community and for this country. And people will say, man, they are on fire for Jesus. You know why? Because when we went home, we kindled the fire in our own personal lives with Jesus. So when we got together, all those flames coming into one church burns a lot brighter. I know that's hard. That's not easy. People work. Got full-time jobs. Some of y'all going to school full-time. Some of y'all doing countless numbers of jobs. Hard things. Going through hard things in your life. But as believers, should we not make time for the Lord? Should we not say, hey, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to close right here in prayer and in Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a church for the first time in weeks, and it is good. It is good to see faces, and it's good to see familiar people, and it's good to assemble at your house. God, I think I'm going to end the prayer like this. God, help us. Help us walk through this dark time of our lives, our dark time of this church, dark time of this community, and maybe this world. God, shine a light through us and help us walk when we don't even feel like we can walk ourselves. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for being here.